Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. We'll look at the first 4 verses of that chapter. I'll begin verse number 1, if you'll join me on the even-numbered verses of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. Stand with me, please. And I'll begin there at verse number 1, chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. So, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the good group of folks that we have out tonight. Lord, we're asking that you'd be a part of the service. Please meet with us, Lord, at this time, the special service that we have of remembrance. Pray, Lord, that you'd please just be with the special music, then be with our preacher as he preaches to us, as he opens your word, speaks to us tonight. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to listen to what you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Losing the race. reminder and song tonight. What a good thing. Amen. All right, I want to speak tonight. If this passage, it looks familiar to you, we were here some months ago on a Sunday evening, but this is a different message. I made a note then that I wanted to use this passage for a Lord's Supper service. And I want to speak to you tonight, so we'll go back to it. I want to speak to you on this subject, the banquet and the banner. The banquet and the banner as it applies to our Lord's Supper service tonight. The banquet and the banner. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your grace, my goodness. And as they sang, we could not even get started in that race of trying to earn heaven on our own accord. We're behind, Lord, so far we couldn't get started. So we are thankful for Jesus, who went the full way, every step, until he could cross the line and say, it is finished for us. Thank you for it. And this ordinance brings us tonight to that cross where our salvation was purchased. And so we're thankful. Help me tonight to be an encouragement and a blessing to your church and edify our hearts through the Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture does not give us a command as to how often we as a church are to observe the Lord's Supper. The only reference of any kind as far as to how often is exactly those words Jesus himself said, as often as ye do it in remembrance of me. So he left it up to the will of the church and whatever the church wants to do. And we've talked about that in times past in Lord's Supper services. We observe it four times a year here. Maybe we should observe it more often. But I can see an upside to that. But I could also see a downside to it. And I don't want it to become ritual. I don't want it to become ceremonial. It has a far greater impact on us if it remains real personal to our hearts and lives. And so that's what I hope it always is for us when we come to one of these rare nights on a Sunday when we observe the Lord's table. We're late. Usually we do it the first Sunday night of every quarter. But with all the hoopla about how sweet it is, I didn't want to intermingle the two. And so tonight we come to this very special time. And we're in the book of the Song of Solomon. And you remember that there are two main characters throughout this book. There is the bridegroom and there is the bride. There is a lot of dialogue between the two. There is a lot of monologue by each of them about the other. And really that's the sum total of the book. Either dialogue between themselves or monologue by one about the other. We know that the bridegroom is symbolic of Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom. No doubt about that. We know that the bride is symbolic of those who are saved in this New Testament day and age. I'm not a Baptist brider. I don't believe that the only people going up in the rapture to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb are Baptist people. I think any saved person in this New Testament day and age is going up in that rapture. I don't believe the Old Testament saints were part of the bride of Christ. I believe Israel was the bride of God. He spoke about her in such terminology. But I think the bride, as symbolized here, is those of us who are saved in this New Testament day and age. In verse 1 and 2, the bridegroom speaks about himself. And he says, I am the rose of Sharon, and he is the lily of the valleys. Now, I like that statement. I like the word lily, singular, and I like the word valleys, plural. There are all kinds of valleys that God's people are going to walk through between the time they get saved and when they see Jesus and go to heaven. But I will say this, the great answer to all of our need is the same no matter what valley you're in. There's one lily for all valleys. I don't think that's a typo. I don't think that's a misprint. I think it speaks very, very truly about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the lily, singular, of all the valleys. And that's not my message tonight, but I know people in this room are walking through valleys. I know that. I know some of you are walking through valleys that I'm aware of, and some of you are going through valleys about which I am not aware. And I just want to remind you tonight that somewhere in that valley, no matter what type of valley it is, Jesus Christ is there. He is the lily of the valley, and you'll find strength and encouragement in His person in that valley. Then, verses 3 and 4, the bride speaks. And so the bridegroom speaks in 1 and 2, and then the bride speaks in verses 3 and 4. If you did the devotional booklets during the How Sweet It Is program, you came to verse number 3, and we talked about that. I talked about this in one of my devotions. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And so she says, my bridegroom is like the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Now, it may not be the tallest tree in the woods, but I want to tell you something, friend. That apple tree's fruit is hard to beat. Other fruits are good. I think I said that in that little devotional. Other fruits are good. There's hardly a fruit that I don't enjoy eating. I love apricots. I love plums. I love pears. I love peaches, being from Georgia, of course. I love peaches. And you can't hardly have a fruit that, you know, and some people have a favorite, but you'll be hard-pressed to find somebody. You'll find somebody that doesn't like an apricot. You might find somebody that doesn't like a peach or a pear, but you'll be hard-pressed to find somebody, anybody, who doesn't like a good old apple off of a tree. Ah, the fruit of those trees, that sweetness is just something special. I remember when I was at the home for boys there in Tennessee, we were up in the mountains, a little mountain range there. It's where the home was, where the property was located. And the farmers up there had apple orchards. They raised pumpkins that we would pick out of the pumpkin patch, put in semis, and they brought them up here to Chicago to sell them. And then we did apple trees. And in September, we would go to the orchards in the morning, early, at the break of day, and we'd have big old sacks slung over our shoulders, and we'd put ladders up against those trees and climb the ladders, and some fellas would stay on the ground and pick from the low branches. And, you know, it was crisp. It was always, goodness, it was a good 6, 8, 10 degrees cooler sometimes up on that mountain than it was down in the regular altitude there where the cities were, little villages and towns. And I can remember being real cool in September. And they had those red delicious apples mainly and a few yellow delicious, golden delicious. And man, I'd get on that, slap that ladder up against that tree. And then we had so much fun. You know, there's a lot of apples that fall on the ground, rotten. They're got bruised and they're wormy sometimes, you know. And, you know, it'd get monotonous picking apples hour after hour after hour. All of a sudden you'd be picking an apple and smash. An old rotten apple hit you in the side of the head. You'd turn around, you know, mad at some punk kid, and here'd be Brother Mike Hagee. He'd be the one to throw it, and there would be an apple war before we got done. Man, I mean, we had so much fun. And but I'll tell you what, early in the morning like that, and the dew was still on those apples, and you'd pick those great big old apples. I mean, tree ripened, not ripened over the winter time in coolers somewhere in somebody's warehouse. I'm talking about tree ripened, you know. And you'd pick those apples off. And I'm going to tell you something. To bite in that thing, friend, I mean to tell you, it was so crisp, it cracked. It honestly did. And it was so cold and sweet to the taste, make your teeth hurt. You know how when it's so cold, makes your teeth ache. And I'm telling you, the taste of that tree-ripened apple and that fruit was just beyond compare to anything else. And you know, the bride said, that's what her bridegroom is like. He's like the fruit from the apple tree. And I say amen to that, the sweetness of Jesus Christ. But that's not really where I want to go tonight. He goes on to verse number 4, or she does, and she says about her groom, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. So he brings her, the bride speaks, and she says, he brought me to the banqueting house and his banner. The banquet and the banner. And I want to talk about that just a little bit tonight before we get ready to serve the Lord's table. Because I believe this, in this little banquet and banner, we see a picture of the place of salvation. You know, the bridegroom and bride have a relationship. And we have a relationship with Jesus Christ through salvation. And friend, I want to tell you, being saved is like a banquet. It really is. It's like a banquet. I'm going to tell you why this is good for us. Because the old world we live in is pretty heavy. It gets heavy with sometimes work situations. It gets heavy sometimes with interpersonal relationships. that are going south. It gets heavy sometimes with family relationships. It gets heavy sometimes with problems. It gets heavy sometimes financially. Once in a while, it's good for us to leave all those things, if you will, down in the valley and climb the mountaintop and just be reminded about how wonderful it is to be saved. And salvation is like a banquet. It's like a banquet. And I think about a banquet, I think about the beauty of a banquet. I think about the beauty of a banquet when I think of a banqueting house. I think of a beautiful place. You know, I was thinking there are all kinds of decors and themes that restaurants follow depending on the kind of food they serve and the atmosphere they want to create inside their particular building. You know, common foods like burgers and sandwiches and pizza. You go into places like Subway and McDonald's, and as hard as they try to make a McDonald's special, it's still a hamburger joint. It really is. And burgers and even pizza places, you know, Culver's is the same type thing, and Steak and Shake, and on I could go. And they're sandwich spots. They're burger joints. They got fries and pizza and that kind of thing. I think about family dining. I think about a family atmosphere where you go and you sit down at a table and you're waited on, like Baker's Square or Olive Garden or Red Lobster, some of those places, and all the decor that goes with family dining. And then I think about those places that are kind of like, it's kind of becoming trendy now. You don't think of, when you think of a banqueting house, you don't think of barbecue. I just don't see barbecue at a banqueting house. You need a bib and you need a wet napkin and you're sucking all the meat off those bones, those ribs. And I don't think of barbecue at a banqueting house. You know, you go to those type places today and the decor, what's trendy now is no, you know, kind of an open ceiling where you see the rafters and you see the HVAC vents, you know, running through, and that's kind of becoming trendy. By the way, if you haven't been there, there's a good place over in Dwight. I should probably push local places, but there is a good barbecue place in Dwight. If you like barbecue over there, I forget what it's called, Cherry Red or something like that, and it's Cherry Red what? Cherry Red Roaster. Brother Jeff, now you're the food man of this church. Have you been there? Oh my. All right. Somebody help Jeff. All right. But you want to get some good barbecue, friend. I'm telling you, they've got it over there. But you know, when you walk in there, it's not a banquet. It's not a banquet. It's barbecue place. Now, none of those type things, Subways and even Olive Garden and Red Lobster with their particular decor, and certainly the, you know, even, what is it, Jimmy Joe's over here is a barbecue. You know, those places, I don't think of those places as a banquet house. But there's a place or two where I've been up here. I think about up there on Cicero. Up 50, and there's a bank when you get off at 159th or 167th Street, and you go up Cicero, and on the right there's a big, beautiful white mansion, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's a banqueting house. It's for wedding receptions and banquets, and then we went to one time somewhere for Grace Baptist Church, where Brother Harrison is now at a Valentine. Now, man, I mean the chandeliers. And the tables are covered with linen cloths, and the goblets are out there, and the linen napkins are so, and the chair covers on the chairs, and there's plush carpet, and there's certainly no exposed ventilation system, and hardwood floor, or acid treated cement floor. I mean, it's plush, it's luxurious. And when I think about those type places, banquet, it's a place that demands people to dress up, man. I mean, suits and ties and dresses, and it demands controlled behavior. It's a place of beauty. When you walk in, it's kind of like, wow, this is nice. And I want to tell you something, friend. I believe with all of my heart that salvation is a place of beauty. Like a banquet is a place of beauty, salvation is a place of beauty. I was thinking this week, I talked about being, a couple Wednesday nights ago, it was 39 years of being saved. And I want to tell you something, there's just something so beautiful about being saved. The cleanliness when you get saved. The washing. and the cleansing of that sin and the rolling away of that burden that's on your shoulders and the purity of it and the holiness of it and the righteousness of it. And to think that we were all once clothed with the rags of our sin and now we are enrobed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. Salvation is a beautiful thing. And if you don't need this tonight, I need this. I need to get away from some of the petty stuff and the interpersonal stuff that makes up church ministry. And it goes on to folks in every church. I need to climb out of that tonight and get up on the mountain a little bit and be reminded just how good it is to be saved. And salvation is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, the Bible teaches in the book of Ephesians that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. That's an amazing statement. In the mind of God, we're already seated there with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. But friend, someday it'll be more than just positional. Someday it'll be practical. We will be in that place. We've sung about it tonight. I don't know if you noticed, two or three of our hymns were about heaven, that glad reunion day, and so forth. And the choir saying, the church shall rise. And it'll be more than positional. Right now, it's all positional. Right now, the practical is we're still in the nasty now and now. But one of these days, it won't be just positional. It'll be practical. We'll be there with Jesus in that beautiful place. And I'm just saying tonight that salvation is a place of beauty. Like a banquet is a place of beauty, salvation is a place of beauty. But there's something else about a banquet. You know, a banquet is a place of bounty. It's a place of bounty. The word banquet, when I think of a banquet, I think of a 6 or 7 course meal. Doesn't that just bless your heart? Amen. I mean, really. I think of an appetizer, and they come and serve you, you know, your beverage of choice, and then they come with the appetizer, and then and it's all prearranged, and you're not ordering anything. Nobody's there with a menu. You sit down, and you're at a banquet, and you begin to be served. And the appetizer is served. And then the bread comes maybe in a basket or on a plate. And it's not cheap old bread from Kroger. It's good bread. And I mean the good stuff. And then comes a bowl of soup. And then comes a nice garden salad and some side cups of dressing. And then comes the entree and a couple of maybe potato and a vegetable. And then comes the dessert. And then they offer you coffee or tea. And you know, it just comes and it just doesn't stop. You don't do this in 20 or 30 minutes. No. This takes a couple of hours. You sit there and it's just course after course after course. You finish one course and here comes another. And you finish that one and here comes another. And you enjoyed it, but here comes another. Because a banquet is a place of bounty. And I will say tonight that not only is salvation a place of beauty, but salvation is a place of bounty. It's just one blessing after another. You know, if all salvation was forgiveness of sins, that'd be enough to last for a lifetime. But the Lord is so much kinder to us, so much more gracious to us. It's not just forgiveness of sins. Oh, that's part of it. I mean, that's where it starts. That's the beginning. But it just one blessing after another and after another and after another and after another. And you get those times where it is hard and difficult to press on. But you know, if you just stay with it and keep your heart tender, here comes another blessing and here comes another blessing. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and the Holy Spirit indwells you and brings comfort to your heart and guides you into the Scriptures and the truth of this eternal book forever settled in heaven. That I mean, brother, if countries and societies of people would be built on this, all would be utopia, and God lets us learn from it and gain from it, and it's like meat and it's like milk and it's like butter and it's like honey. It's sweet. It's more precious than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And Jesus is our shepherd and God is our Father. And we have fellowship and we get wisdom and we get comfort and we get blessing and we get power and we have Christian friends and sweetness. And I could stand up here and go on and on and on about the bounty of salvation. That's what I think of when I think of a banquet. I think of a cornucopia A cornucopia. That's an old term. You don't hear that much anymore, do you? That old horn of plenty. And my gracious Brother Brown used to have that erected every year for the Thanksgiving season out there. That thing must have been 10 or 11, 12 feet at the mouth and filled the whole platform and the bounty that would flow out of that. When you think of a cornucopia, that's what I think of when I think of salvation. Salvation is a banquet, and a banquet is both beautiful and bountiful. Some years ago, I was up at a restaurant near the... what's that fancy mall up there in Schaumburg? Woodfield Mall, is that the name of it right there? Keith, is that what I'm talking about? 53 and 90, Woodfield Mall. And they got Maggiano's there. And they got Italian food. Oh, it's a good place, man. Maggiano's. Now, you know, it's going to lighten your wallet a little bit to go there. And I forget while I was there, we were in the dining area. And then upstairs, they have their banquet room. I'm telling you. I said, look, I want to go up there and look. And so I just wanted to look in. They were getting ready. It was like Saturday afternoon early, and they were getting ready for something in that banquet room. And I want to tell you, folks, my jaw dropped. I could not believe how beautiful that banquet room was. And all those tables set up, and like I described earlier, and they had salad bars. And they had three or four salad bars in the room there. And I never saw such stuff in my life. On a salad bar, and all these decorations, and then one of the waiters came out, these big A's on every table as a centerpiece. And I said, hey, what do you mind me asking what this is? He said, this is a bat mitzvah. It's for Jewish girls. The bar mitzvah is for Jewish boys. And the bat mitzvah is for Jewish girls, and it's something that they do in Orthodox and maybe even more less conservative Jewish type families, and it's the kind of the coming out. I don't know if it's when they become 12 or 13. You know how to kind of do in Argentina the 15-year-old celebration, Ryan. And this was I said what is something, and they said, you know, it's not unusual for these people to drop $25,000. On these bat mitzvahs for a 13-year-old. You know what I say? They got more money than they know what to do with. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. Oh, my goodness. The beauty of that place and the bounty of that place. It was jaw-dropping because it was a banquet. And the price tag. The price tag. And I want to say tonight, that brings me to the second thought tonight. You know, salvation is a banquet. But there's also a banner. And the banquet pictures the place of salvation, a place of beauty, and a place of bounty. But the banner pictures the price of salvation. And I want you to see it in verse number 4. His banner over me was love. Now that's not difficult to understand. Because in olden days, banners, when you read in your Old Testament book of Isaiah, and you read about the standard, and you read in the book of Numbers about the standard of the tribe of Issachar, the standard of the tribe of Asher, the standard of the tribe of Dan. It's a banner. It's an ensign. It's a standard, and the tribes and in military, the soldiers would group around their banner or their ensign or their standard. And it was used by those in power, by kings and princes and military leaders. It was used, the banners were used as ensigns, banners designated ownership. A certain ensign flew over territory that was owned or ruled by the king. And often the design of the banner was of the king's own choosing. And they would use an animal or a bird to depict a certain characteristic of what they wanted to represent their kingdom, their authority, their rule. How they'd put a lion on there, the king of the jungle. They'd put an eagle on there, the beautiful bird of the skies. They'd put a bear, other like a family. Nowadays, not so popular anymore, but it used to be a family crest. And then a family crest, and it symbolized something. And it meant something. And brother, the banner, the standard, the bride said that her bridegroom brought her to a banquet, and the banner, the inside, the standard, inside the standard that flew over that banquet, the place that he brought her to, simply said, love. Love. And that characterizes the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's how Jesus Christ desires to be characterized. And I want to say that you and I have been brought to the place of salvation. The banner, the standard that flies over the place is love. And that depicts the price of our salvation. Because the Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And I want to say tonight, friend, that this supper we're about to observe tonight, to pass this bread and this juice, this supper here represents the place of salvation. You know where the place of salvation is? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the place of salvation is. The salvation, the banquet that He offers to us in salvation is both beautiful and bountiful. And the place of salvation is not in the piece of bread. It's not in this cup of juice. It's in what that juice and what that bread represent. It represents the bread, represents the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for us. And by the way, at King's Kids time tonight, with those little kids over there, I talked about the fact that we were going to observe the Lord's table. And I asked them, how many of you know what the bread represents? And I was thrilled to see little children raise their hand and say it represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. God bless you kids for getting that. And then what does the juice represent? And little children raising their hand saying it represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And it does, children. And it does, teenager. And it does, adult. And that represents the person. And that's the place of salvation. The place of salvation is not on the membership role of some church. The place of salvation is not in the baptismal waters of some tank. The place of salvation is not in some country that you are a citizen of. No, the place of salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a banquet. It's beautiful and bountiful when Jesus saves us. But now wait a minute. This supper also, these elements also represent the price of salvation. The body and the blood. When you give body and blood, friend, you know what you've given? You've given your life. You've laid down your life. And Jesus Christ, the price was the life, was Jesus Christ's own life. And the banner and the ensign that flies over this banquet tonight. Jesus did not want to be remembered by the word sacrifice. He did not want to be remembered by the word grace, although we heard a beautiful song about it tonight. He did not want to be remembered by the word mercy or power or wisdom or knowledge. The word that Jesus placed on the banner that hangs over the banquet house of salvation is love. Man, that does my heart good. Well, praise God. I'm so thankful that He loves us tonight. The banner, the ensign that flows over the banquet is love. And I want to say tonight we need to be reminded that the price of our pardon, as we sing once in a while in that song, Saved by the Blood, those words always grip my heart on the verse that says, the price of our pardon, God's own precious Son. And we have stopped after that hymn before and asked the question, who in this room would give their son for somebody else's pardon? And nobody ever responds because none of us would. Oh, but God did. The price of our pardon was His own precious Son. And that Son gave His life so that we could be saved. And I say to you tonight, church, we come to a banquet. We come to a banquet, the place of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. Salvation is beautiful and salvation is bountiful. And there's a banner flying over our banquet tonight. And that banner is emblazoned with the simple word love. The love of Christ. All of this is because of His great love. Love that moved Christ to give His life for ours. And I want to say tonight, I am so thankful. You know, I love the ordinance of baptism. It's always, I think, a crowning moment to a church service when a convert follows the Lord in believer's baptism. And I love baptism. But I'm going to tell you, I especially love this. This has an effect on me, the likes of which, I don't know, very little else has. as far as what happens in the Christian ministry. But this opportunity to come apart for a little bit and just be reminded about salvation. My. Oh, I know. We have to put up with the nasty now and now. That's part of it. I'm not complaining. I'm not unhappy as I can be. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad to have a place where we can come and be reminded of the banquet that is salvation, and the banner that flies over the banquet of salvation, the love of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you don't take anything from this service tonight, when we pass that bread and that juice, I hope that you'll take home a good glimpse of that banner that flies over this banquet that simply says, love. Because it's personal. It's personal to every person in this room. I am so thankful tonight for the banquet and the banner, the place and the price of our salvation. Let's pray together tonight. Thank you for your attention and listening. Our God and Father, You are so wise, infinitely wise, to ordain and institute this ordinance for the church to follow. And thank You for the opportunity it gives us every once in a while just to pull away from the grind, if you will. Leave the valley and crawl up on the mountain peak and be reminded of the fact that salvation is a banquet. It's a beautiful place. It's a bountiful place. And to be reminded tonight of the price of our salvation, Your own precious blood, all because You loved us. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so tonight, Lord God, we take a good look at the banner hanging over our banqueting house, and we rejoice in the love of Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for giving Your life, for Your great sacrifice, Your mercy and grace. But thank You most of all for Your deep, wonderful, bountiful love that saved sinners like us. May we never get used to it. May it warm our hearts again tonight is my prayer. In Jesus' name.